you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Let's get right directly into this. There are a lot of belief systems that are, of course, in our world, in our society, different things that are going on that we are experiencing now at the end times. But I think one of the most prevalent that is actually ushering in the whole end time belief system, the one world belief system, the one world mindset, is Gnosticism. And Gnostics are, some people try to date them back to the time of Christ, but it actually dates back much further than that. If you remember when the children of Israel were freed from bondage in Egypt, when they left Egypt, they were followed by Egyptians. There were some Egyptians that left with them. I talked about it in one of my videos. They actually left with them. These Egyptians were the Egyptian mystics, okay? So they were the Egyptian mystics that would interpret Pharaoh. They would operate in his power. These are the ones who threw the rod down and made the snake just like Moses did. So these guys had some skill, okay? They knew what they were doing. Well, Pharaoh, being who he was, decided, okay, since y'all going to go ahead and take the children of Israel, we're going to send our people with them. These people kept the children of Israel falling back into Egyptian bondage because these were the ones that were performing all of the deeds that would anger God, the building of Molech, the worshiping of idols, the different things. These were the guys who had the understanding of how to do those things. Okay. So what they were basically doing was interpreting the law of Moses with mysticism. That created a plethora of belief systems, one including Kabbalah and Jehovah mystics and all these different mindsets and different things that would take what God was saying and doing and pervert it and twist it and turn it into something else. Well, this just kept going on down through the Old Testament. It kept going through time until it just developed into a whole belief system. So the apostles were not only fighting during their time, they weren't just fighting for salvation and fighting for the cause of Christ, but most of their time was spent fighting against the false teachings of Gnostics at the time. This is what they were coming against. This is what a lot of our scriptures are referencing to. You don't even know it when the scripture's talking about seducing spirits and different things. It's talking about the Gnostics, because the Gnostics they were real clever. And what they would do is they would take the writings of the scripture and create another set of writings by the same person, but say that this set of writings was only for a certain group of people. So in other words, they would take the Gospel of John and write a whole nother Gospel of John and say, this is the Gospel of John that is allowed for those who are higher up in society or who had money or who were elite or who were special or basically who had gnosis. Because the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, is knowledge. So those that had the knowledge could get the extra information, right? And the normal people that were kept in the dark or in the bondage of God, those of us that served him, we were left in the dark with only the writings that supported our belief in their eyes. Okay? So they had their stuff down packed. I'm impressed by Gnosticism. They impressed me because they worked real hard. They worked real hard. What they didn't want to do, they didn't want their gospel to be so foreign that it was directly in opposition of Christianity. So they were smart enough to incorporate Christianity and their doctrine. And so those that were true believers of Christianity, they could just opt them out and say, well, if they knew what we know, or if they had the gnosis or the text that we are reading from, then they would understand. But because they haven't been enlightened, they don't know. So they can easily just pass us off as not knowing the whole story. Okay? This is the same way Freemasons escape ridicule. You know, like people ask me all the time, hey man, you preaching against Freemasons, you're not afraid of dying? No, because Freemasons aren't paying attention to me. They could care less, because they're like, well, he just doesn't know. That's why they keep everything a secret. As long as it's secret, they can deny anything, because they can just pass you off as not knowing because it's secret. Oh, he's just not privy to the real information that is in there. Now, if I got one of their books from the temple and started reading out of that, yeah, they cut my tongue out probably. But because I'm talking from what I know, or people have told me, or sources, but I don't have the information, the secret information, then there's really, you know, there's no proof. That's why when we're on the website, if you go looking at all the different people that are doing all this exposing on the web, they're exposing Illuminati, Satanism in the music industry and all that, they're implementing people. But you can't do that. That's why we don't do that with the ex-ministry. If you ever watched our videos, you know, we're not saying this person is a Freemason. We're not saying this person is in the Illuminati. We're not saying that. I can never say that, because it's hidden. It's secret. Okay? So they could always deny it, even if you had evidence. Because you can't really have evidence of a secret. You see what I'm saying? They can always get out of it. So you really put yourself in danger by trying to accuse, saying, well, yeah, he's in this and he's in that. Now, we can suspect, well, yeah, he's probably in there, or he may be in there, but we can't ever say it. But these new guys that are coming out doing all this exposing, you know, I believe that the devil has called all them to do the exposing. I believe the devil took a good look at EX Ministries after 10 years of us doing this, how fast, how strong it was going, wasn't letting up. God was like foot in the neck of the devil. I believe the devil said, well, I can't beat him, I'm going to join him. They are all from these perverted religions, and they are exposing music in the industry and stuff, but they're exposing it from a Gnostic belief system. Yeah. So the devil has basically just said, I can't beat this thing, so I'm just going to jump on the side with it and look like it. That's what he's done. That's why, you know, you see all the YouTube, everybody doing the exposing, everybody's doing it. But they're doing it from the wrong belief. It's not a pure stream. It's not. So it's going to eventually lead people back to a false source, because they're trying to get this whole world, for the one world belief system, they're trying to make everybody Gnostics, because in Gnosticism, Satan is Christ. Okay? So let's look at this. Truth in reverse. Gnostics, and the word Gnostics comes from the Greek word gnosis. Gnosis means knowledge. Okay, so whenever you're talking about knowledge, gnosis, that's why I tell people Gnosticism did not come around Christ time. Gnosticism was there at the beginning of the world. Adam and Eve in the garden, that's where Gnosticism started, right then, when the devil said, eat off this tree, you're gonna get gnosis. It's just the Greek word for knowledge. Okay, so I'm gonna open your eyes up. That's where Gnosticism began. That was what the devil wanted. Okay, listen to this. Gnostics believe that there is a true God of all. This God and his female part, Sophia, had many children. One child was so evil, they decided to abort him. His remains survived, but was cast into outer space. Okay, this is the Gnostic story. In space, he created a world to live in. He created man so he could be worshipped. And as long as a man didn't gain knowledge of this, he would serve him only. Therefore, matter, flesh, earth, and everything that Yahweh God created is evil to the Gnostic. Because the Gnostic is the aborted remains of the child of the true God, which the true God has no space, no time, no nothing. He didn't create anything, according to them. Him and Sophia had a child, and this child was an outcast. They cast him out. He formed a world. He created man. Okay? And so everything that he creates from this point on is inherently evil because of his origin. Okay? Y'all got it? I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but this is what they believe. But watch this, y'all, because, I mean, I'm impressed. I'm telling you. They're pretty good. I ain't never seen anybody put a spin on something like this. I mean, these guys were working hard, boy. As long as a man remains trapped in evil matter or his body, he is evil. Now, the spin that they take is the Bible's, they use the fact that the Bible says we're all born in sin or there's nothing good in the flesh. You know, the flesh is corrupt. Scripture says that, but he's not talking about the creation. He's talking about what man did, the fall at Eden. Okay? Because when God made man, he said what? That is, it's good. So matter is good. We are good as far as his creation. His creation is perfect. It's just the deeds of man can be corrupt, but man is inherently good because we're made in his image and in his likeness. Okay? Y'all got that? Only through the true knowledge or gnosis can one escape his evil body and be free from Yahweh's bondage. Okay? One must free his mind from its prison of rules and laws of morality by accepting the higher consciousness of one's existence. Who does that sound like? That sounds just like the law of Thelema. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. As long as there are laws, you can't do what you want. So laws are keeping you in bondage. The whole of the law is to do what you want. You should be free to do what you want no matter whose morality is trying to dictate to you that it is wrong. So in other words, everything you do can be right in your eyes if you aren't bound to any laws. Okay? So to them, law is bondage. That's why do as thou wilt is the whole of the law of Thelema or Crowley. Okay? Crowley was a Gnostic. Okay? Just in case you didn't know that by now. The truth, according to Gnosticism, is that we are equal to Yahweh and we are truly divine sparks or spirits from Sophia and the true God. So they were having children, according to Gnostics. They didn't just give birth to Yahweh. Yahweh was an aborted child and decided to do what he wanted. Well, we were out in the heavenlies or the realm or whatever, and Yahweh grabbed us all up and put us in bodies. So our bodies are bondage because our bodies are matter. So we can't truly be the spirit spark that we should be because we're bound to the laws and rules of a body and man. Okay? So to really be set free from that bondage, we have to have gnosis so that we can escape the limitations of the flesh, because the flesh is inherently evil and it's keeping us evil. Y'all see what I'm saying? Oh, it's straight deep. I mean, it's straight deep the way they did this. And they can pull, you can pull certain scriptures out of the Bible to back it up. That's the spooky thing, okay? They did it in a way to where, if you don't know what you know, man, they will convert you, Jack. I'm telling you. But Yahweh trapped us in evil flesh bodies and sought to keep our eyes closed and in bondage to his lies. So God put us in these bodies. Gnostics are also very tolerant. Now here we go to the end times. Very tolerant of other beliefs and believe that tolerance of all men's faith is justified because we are all lost until the light of Sophia sets us free. So they're very tolerant of Buddhism, Islam, everything. This is where coexist comes from. So they want us to all coexist because, hey, we can't tear those people down because had the light of Sophia not shined on us, we would be in the dark as well. Okay? Because we're all trapped here. The evil creator has messed us up. So, you know, so we might as well just get along with everybody. But it's one group that they don't like. But of course, they believe Christianity is not tolerable because it directly opposes their beliefs. So they believe that the Christians are evil because we believe the opposite of what they say happened. Okay? So because we make God God and the devil, we're poisoning people. So this is why they tolerate every other god, and it doesn't matter. They can befriend them, but the Christian, they always look at you like you're just hateful and you're just keeping people in bondage, and you just, because we believe that Satan is the devil, they believe Satan is good. Satan is Sophia. Y'all got it? So that is why I always wondered that. The world is run by Gnostics. It's going to be a Gnostic world because the owners of everything, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Illuminati, the Knights of Templar, the you know, all of them, the 200, the 30, the 17, the 11, all these guys that's running the world banks, all of this stuff, these guys are Gnostic. Let's go to this. The true God did not create the world according to Gnostics, our true God, okay? So when I say their true God is different. Okay, our God, of course, is Yahweh, but he's our only God. Their God doesn't have a name. He's just true God. All right. The true God did not create the world according to Gnostics. The world was created by the Demiurge or Yahweh. Okay, they call him the Demiurge. I hate saying that. It just sounds gay. The Demiurge. He is considered a false God to Gnostics. Adam and Eve sparks or spirits were placed in flesh bodies in the garden and made ignorant of the Demiurge or Yahweh's plans. He told them to eat not of the tree, which would give them knowledge of the real truth about them being in bondage to him. So basically, they're saying that he created man, but he was already in a cast out. He creates somebody to worship him because he's all alone. So he makes this world and he puts people in it, Adam and Eve. But then he forbids them to eat off the tree because the tree of knowledge will tell them everything. So Sophia, out of pity, came in the form of a serpent to warn Adam and Eve and save them from the plan of the Demiurge to keep them in bondage. Okay, so here comes the serpent, the enlightened being or the enlightened one, which that is what serpent really means. Okay. You know, we hear serpent, so we automatically think in evil, but the word is actually enlightened being. It really is. So, you know, that lines up with Sophia to them. Okay. So he came in the form of a enlightened being to help Adam and Eve save them from the plan of Yahweh to keep them in bondage. The Gnosis text teaches that as the Demiurge tells Adam and Eve that they may help themselves to anything in the garden, they are to stay away from the tree of knowledge. As Adam and Eve listen to the serpent, their eyes are open and the spell of ignorance is broken forever. Because they chose to listen to the serpent, Adam and Eve no longer worship the Demiurge, but recognize that there is a true God and he was not the creator of evil, imperfect material world. Okay, so since the world it has sin, since the world is imperfect, since it's all matter, they point to that and say the true God could not have created it. Okay, because wherever there's evil, it couldn't be from the true God. Salvation to the Gnostic. Okay, listen, the Gnostic view of salvation is obviously through the divine knowledge or gnosis. While many believe that simply acquiring this gnosis will bring about salvation, there are specific reasons as to why the Gnostics believe this way. The Gnostics hold that evolutionary forces alone are insufficient to bring about spiritual freedom. Thus, the individual must free themselves from the bondage of the material world. This is why all the movies are always about everybody being in some kind of bondage and somebody setting them free. Okay, we as Christians would love for these movies to be Christian, so we always try to put a Christian spin on it, but it's not a Christian spin. The people are always robots, they're always blind, they're always locked into some kind of rules system, and then there comes this savior that always sets them free from the rules, from the laws, or from the oppressor. Okay, that story is Gnostic. That is not biblical, okay? It's Gnostic. It's a Gnostic view of Christianity, viewing Christians as confined to the laws of the Demiurge, or we can't do what we want. We can't, you know, God just unjustly put us in a flesh body, gave us sexual desires and stuff, and then told us we can't do none of them, okay? So we're in bondage. We can't do what we want to do. Then here comes Crowley and these guys. Yes, you can. You got to break free from that bondage of that oppressor. The number one way to a Gnostic to break free from it is death. But they look at somebody coming and killing you or killing a group of people, you're really setting those spirits free. So that's why they don't have a problem with it. And even in the movies, whenever there's an oppressor and everybody's being oppressed, you see a whole lot of killing in those movies. You got to do all this killing, but they really believe that you're setting people free. The Orthodox view of salvation is worthless to the Gnostic. While the Gnostics believe that Jesus was the Savior, they do not look to salvation from sin. Rather, they look to salvation from ignorance, the ignorance of spiritual realities. This ignorance will only be relieved through gnosis. It was not through Christ's suffering and death, but through his life and his teachings that humanity will be saved. So They're denying that he is the Son of God, and they're trying to put a spin on his death. In other words, they're saying his death is not the salvation of man, but his teachings or his knowledge or the knowledge that he was able to tap into. So in other words, he's just like one of us, tapping into the knowledge or tapping into the gnosis. He got knowledge. He brought forth salvation. Okay. So when we get the knowledge, we bring forth salvation. So they're going to always keep the word gnosis in the forefront so we can grab gnosis or knowledge and be saved through knowledge. Okay. So it's not through his blood, his resurrection, his death. He couldn't be God himself because the true God hates matter. Matter is evil. So God would not have manifested himself as matter at all, because matter is inherently evil. So he's just another spark like all of us, but he gained knowledge, and that's what we have to gain, knowledge, okay? To Gnostics, at the end of the individual's life, death will release the divine spark from its prison, the fleshly body from the material world. If the gnosis or the knowledge undertaken by the individual throughout their mortal life is lacking, the spark will be hurled back into and re-emptied into the pangs and slavery of the physical world. So you just reincarnated, okay? Simply put, if the individual does not achieve gnosis in their first lifetime, the mortal body will be disposed of, and the soul, the divine spark of that individual, will be sent back to the physical material world to begin the process over again, imprisoned in yet another body. However, if the individual achieves a satisfactory level of knowledge throughout their lifetime, the spark is released from its fleshly prison and will ascend through the realms to be reunited with its partner in Pleroma. That is, the Pleroma is where the true God actually lives. Derivatives. All of these are derived from this Gnostic belief system. Kabbalah. This is the number one religion in Hollywood right now. It is a derivative of Gnosticism. Using mysticism to interpret scripture, I explained that to you earlier, views people as divine. Therefore, we can judge ourselves and choose our own path. So as long as we're divine, then we can choose how we want to go in. This is their tolerance of all other religions. 5%ers, they believe that they are divine and the black man is God. Same belief system. The black man is God. Therefore, we're not confined to the rules and laws like normal people. Once we come to the knowledge of the 5% and the 80 is held in bondage. They believe that the 80 doesn't know. The 80 haven't eaten off the tree. That's basically what they're saying. The 80 haven't eaten the tree. The 80 is in bondage by 10% of the population, who the 10 are the white Christians in their eyes. That's who they're talking about. They're talking about white Christians, mystic Christians. And this is what that guy, Vigilant Citizen, I mean, he has a lot of good stuff on his website about hip hop and exposing the dangers and the Illuminati and all that stuff. He's a mystic. So a mystic basically believes that we can receive salvation through our own knowledge of Christ and don't need his written word. And then we must be tolerant of all other religions and belief systems. Okay. So this is what he is. You can interpret Jesus the way you want to. You don't need the Bible. If you aren't being taught, if you aren't being held accountable, then you'll make God some kind of mystical thing in your life, and you'll begin to operate through your human spirit 100% of the time. And you're really not communing with Christ. You're communing with just any spirit that lodges itself with your human spirit. Okay. So you become spooky. Y'all know people like that God told me this, God told me that, and God said this, and God said that. And then they start telling you stuff that don't line up with the Bible. So, you know, they're lying, but when's the last time you read the Bible? I don't have to read the Bible because I talk right to God. And that's what a mystic Christian really is. Hebrew Israelites. They believe that man is divine and we are all gods, and Jesus is not the Son of God, but just a man. Same belief. That's Gnostic. That's a Gnostic belief system. Some of them, Their beliefs may even line up with some scripture. But the problem isn't some scripture. The problem is all scripture. That's why we can't take parts of the Bible out, or that's why we can't edit the Bible to fit our lifestyles. That's when a man becomes a heretic. That's what a lot of these preachers are right now. Heretics. So we have to be real careful. Metaphysical Christianity is the belief system founded on the teachings of Jesus, which looks at how he perceived reality. It also examines the relationship between mind and matter, which is God. So it basically is taking, you're going out of this realm to gain the knowledge of what's going on in this realm. That's basically what metaphysics is. Okay? It's really the science behind who is what is who. They're opening up everywhere where you can go get the trinkets and the different things you put in your house and all spirits and all this, because you're gaining knowledge of other realms and understanding what's going on and how we fit into the cosmos and the heavenlies and what our real place is and really how we are a spark or really a spirit, but we're confined in the flesh. Tap into the spark and other people's spark. You'll stop hating. You'll start loving everybody because you'll understand, hey, we're all confined. We're all going through the same punishment of being in flesh. Okay, so it's our punishment. That's what they're teaching. So Gnosticism had a whole bunch of babies. Knights of Templar, Illuminati, Freemasons, Skull and Bones, and all secret societies searching for world dominance are Gnostics in their beliefs because they seek knowledge and believe in being sympathetic to Satan because he was the savior of mankind. Period. That's how you sell Satan to the masses. Yes, flip the story. Okay, biblical warnings against this belief. It is so easy for people to be indoctrinated by this stuff. Okay, there are very few people that this stuff is just not interesting to. You know, most of us in here, we look at this and we like, dog, boy, they went a long way for a lie. You know, it's just a lot of us. You know what I'm saying? But your average person, because they watch so much TV, they listen to so much secular music, they hang out with naysayers all the time, they are in the perfect position to be led astray by Gnosticism. Okay? Because once they make an idol out of anyone, if that idol that they make is Gnostic in their belief, they open themselves up for the spirit of that person. Biblical warnings against these beliefs. 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ," which means the anointed one spoken of in the Old Testament. "He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Okay? That scripture never made sense to me because I didn't know a lot of people in church that would deny the Father and the Son. But if you look, read between the lines, you'll see back then they were teaching a doctrine and it was Gnosticism where they were denying the Son. The Father is not the Father without the Son, but they try to separate them. 5% of the same thing. All these different religions, Hebrew Israelites, no Son. Allah, no Son. You know, the Quran states Allah had no son, neither did he father any man. He had all daughters. That immediately says that that's not our God. Colossians 2:18, "Let no man deceive you or beguile you or trick you of your reward or take your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." Boy, that is deep. That means that you've submitted to the wrong doctrine, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So he's teaching you, let no man make you submit to a false gospel with a false sense of humility and worshiping of angels. Who are these angels? These are the sparks. We're all the angels in Gnostic belief. We're all sparks. We're all sons of the true God. We're just in bondage in a body by Yahweh because he's upset because he was cast out. Satan wasn't cast out. Yahweh was cast out to the Gnostic. 1 Timothy 4:1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils." The apostles had to contend with false doctrine in their day. The whole book of Jude is said to be written against Gnosticism, exposing its plight to creep in unto the true gospel of Jesus. Today, our movie stars, recording artists, politicians, and the like are again promoting Gnosticism to distort the world's view of Christianity and lead many astray. And as they continue to be idolized, these people, they will continue to be in position to deceive.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas, 7624 or donate online at truth-church.org.